Good morning, beloved ones.
Good morning.
Yes, I know that you've already told someone that they were the light of the world, but tell them, oh, your light is so bright. Your light is so bright. So bright. Woo. Your light is so bright. Yeah. You're blinding me. You know, it's always such a blessing for me to have the privilege and the honor to stand here before you and to share with you a word or two. My spirit is always uplifted, even if it's a struggle preparing the talk or I've had something go. But the moment I come into this sacred place, everything is all right. Everything is all right. So I thank you for the privilege and the honor of being with you. You know, we've all heard the saying, life is a journey. Haven't you heard that? Life is a journey. And we've also been told that it's all about the journey and not the what? Destination. It's about the journey and not the destination. And that we should enjoy the journey. All of it. Enjoy the journey. One of my favorite sayings about being on this journey of life is this. The one that says, wherever we go, there we are. Right? Wherever you go, there you are. Now that could be good or not so good, but what is true in all of our experiences in life is that we are the one central constant thing, right? We're the constant. Even though, you know, within the variable nature of life and our experiences, we remain the constant factor. Sometimes it's hard when it dawns on you, you know what? It might just be me. We're the constant factor because the characters change, right? Situations change, circumstances may change, but we are there for it all. We're there through it all. And the quality and the nature of the change that is taking place, whether it is out there or the change that is taking place within the consistency of our own presence, can only be generated by us. It can only really be felt by us. It can only really be known by us. Others may look at you and say, you know, I think you've changed. They really cannot tell and know whether you have changed. Only you can tell and know whether or not there's been some shift in your being, some change. And we know that by the quality of our inner landscape, right? By the inner landscape and how we handle each experience. Turn to somebody and say, how's your inner landscape? How's your inner landscape? In truth, we say this, we say that every experience carries a lesson and a blessing, right? Every experience carries a lesson and a blessing. That there's always something that we can learn and something that we can grow from within, right? And within each experience, there's something to learn and something that you can grow from. But have you ever felt stuck in an experience? Stuck in an experience, or instead of getting a blessing or being able to see the blessing, all you could see was the challenge or the struggle, right? Or the limitation that you experienced within that experience. So much so that the only thing that you could do was you yearned to be free of it. You just want it out. You ever just want out? I just want this to stop. I want it to be gone. I want it to be gone. I want out of it. Because who among us has never really desired or said we did not want to have or yearned for, maybe we to put it in a positive, that we've yearned for a life that was free. Free from pain, right? Free from struggle, free from challenge, free from conflict or limitation, from limiting negative people, places, or situations. Have we not ever yearned for that? If I could just, whoo! Well, I have good news and I have bad news. The bad news is that we will never be free of negative people, places, or situations. Never. They will be here as long as there are people on the planet interacting with one another. But the good news is that the quality and the nature and the perceptions that we have of your experience is entirely up to you. That's the good news, right? It's entirely up to you because the experience is subject to the interpretations of the perceiver. You get it? The experience is subject to the interpretation of the perceiver. Whatever you're perceiving this experience to be is your interpretation of it. It's an inner experience. It's an inner phenomenon. So looking for things to change out here is not going to be your solution. It's not going to be the thing that really moves you into a sense of freedom. Now, since experience and the reality of that experience is predicated on our inner awareness and our consciousness and our interpretations and perceptions, then we better do a better job at understanding the journey or the process that can actually lead us to freedom, right? Freedom so that we're not bound or imprisoned or deeply affected by the negative situations, people, places, things, circumstances, right? That somehow or another we need to do a better job at navigating our inner landscape. Because we have to remember that the state of negativity is also subjective. Right? Because what you might think is this horrible, tragic, somebody might go, oh, okay, well, no big deal. So it's all, even that is all subjective and it's determined by us. So here's the key, that the journey we know is not about a destination, but it is about a state of awareness. So the journey is not you traveling, but it's simply a state of awareness. Now, we're going to be looking at how can I check my state of awareness, my inner landscape. Now, a while back, I had asked the divine, or God, or whatever, to usher me into a new state of being and consciousness. And I made a powerful declaration. And I set a powerful intention about what I wanted and what I was praying for and how I wanted to be at this time. Well, you should be very careful about what you ask for because you're going to get it. And it just might not come in the package that you held in mind. And I asked about this last year sometime, but for the past month or so, I've been in deep process, you know, working on myself, deep process, and having to really go within and look at some things that I had buried deep in my subconscious. We all have things that are buried in our subconscious, right? And so this past month or so or two, I've been just looking at things in my subconscious, not necessarily even consciously, but it's just been coming up and showing up big time at this time. And as it's been showing up, I've been really suffering internally. you know, grappling with it, trying to figure out what is going on and where is this coming from and what do I need to do and why is it here? All those questions that we ask and engage in whenever stuff comes up, right? But little did I know or realize that it was actually a part of my prayer. It was an answer in disguise, right? Because I had prayed about it and made my declaration last year, but somehow it was showing up now, and I didn't make the connection. I didn't recognize that this was a part of what I had been asking for. Now, none of us in our right minds ask to struggle. We don't ask to be in conflict. We don't ask to have pain. But sometimes that is an answer to a prayer that you're working on, or something you're trying to do and to clear up and clean out of your being. So I truly desire, because I truly am at this point in my life and in my spiritual growth and in my spiritual practice, where I truly am desiring to live a conscious and connected life. I really am trying to put it all together, all the teachings I know, all the classes I've taken over these many years. I'm trying to be conscious about it. And so, you know, if I want to be conscious about it, that means no more playing games, no more hiding from myself, no more living on a surface level. That if I'm going to be enlightened, and we did a series on that, and I said, now is the time for us to stand to be enlightened, right? To be light bearers. Well, if I'm going to be enlightened, a light bearer, then I need to shine the light of my awareness and my consciousness everywhere within my own being. I need to shine the light, right? Because I want to live free from the tyranny of an unexamined, unconscious life. Because that an unexamined and an unconscious life doesn't lead you anywhere good, trust me, right? You keep bumping into things because the Spirit's trying to wake you up. You keep hitting your head against something because it's like, hey, be conscious. So an unconscious life is not the thing that we want to do. And I want to be conscious at this point in my life. And let me be clear. The process for doing that, for waking your own self up, is not an easy one. It's not easy. But it is all worth it, right? But nobody really wants to see the underbelly of their own psyche. Nobody really wants to do that. That's why we work hard to keep it hidden. We do. We work hard to we put on the smiley face, especially as truth students. Ooh, I can't let you see me in all of my stuff. How you doing? Fine. Blessed and highly favored. Meanwhile, stuff is churning. Right? And we're going to hide from one another. And most importantly, not only do we hide from each other, but we hide from ourselves. We hide from ourselves. And this is it. The Bible says this in Matthew 10, verse 26 to 27. Says, for the time is coming when everything that is covered, and some say everything that is hidden, will be revealed. And all that is hidden will be made known to all. See, the time is here. Everybody's stuff is showing up. We're getting to see the hidden parts of these here United States of America these days. Everything is coming up to be seen. The ugliness, the underbelly, because this is the perfect time. It's the time of great transformation. And you can't transform if you got stuff you're trying to keep repressed and hidden and held back. So don't fear about what's showing up. It has to show up. It's coming up for a reason. So the same thing applies to your life. Everything that you think that nobody sees, trust me, everybody sees it. It's all becoming very transparent. But the process is that whatever is sitting in the surface of your soul, whatever is hidden in your soul, it just sits there. It sits there waiting for the right time to come pouring forth. And here's a hint. What you may consider the right time and what your subconscious considers the right time are two different things, okay? Because usually that unconscious stuff shows up when you really don't want it to. Bam, there it is. Where did that come from? Why did I have that response? Where was that reaction coming from? Wow, right? It comes up not when you're least expecting it to. But I always say it comes up when it comes up to be healed. So because of this, we need to look at a process that can help lead us on this journey to freedom. And journey is what? A state of awareness, right? So we need something, a process that's going to help us on this journey of freedom. Freedom from all of those things, freedom from those patterns, freedom from those thoughts and those feelings and those perceptions that just get in the way of your being able to move through life in a state of authenticity and peace and joy. Freedom from those things that keep you experiencing the same thing over and over and over. Now, I've been doing this process for a couple of years now, but more recently starting to really understand it and master it and take it a little deeper with each time that I'm working with this process. And I've been doing it under a different spiritual system. But the other day, I was talking to Aiko, and I don't know if Aiko's here. And we were visiting with a congregant and talking about life and having some prayer time. And Aiko used this catchy phrase that really summarized the process that I had been working with, the spiritual process that I had been working with for a couple of years. But her phrase was very practical and it was catchy. And I thought, I like that. I said, that'll preach. I like that. That's going to preach. And so here's what I want to share. This was the phrase. She said, you have to trace it, face it, erase it, and then replace it. And I said, yes, that's an excellent process. You have to trace it, face it, erase it, and replace it. Now, I love this saying because when we actually are able to practice it as a process, it becomes a process then that leads us to inner freedom. Now, I've been spending a lot of money to learn the spiritual components to this, but this works well. So I'm giving it to you for free. So take note. So let's start with trace it. Now, we all have those things that are issues, right? Issues for us. But sometimes we don't know that it's an issue. Or we have had it hidden for so long that we don't recognize it as a problem or a challenge of our personality, of our being, of how we are showing up and being in the world. We're not necessarily aware of that. But haven't you had those situations that you have a tendency to repeat, right? These experiences have a tendency to repeat themselves over and over. Or haven't you drawn the same people, right? The same people into your life again and again. They just have different names, they have different faces, but they're basically the same people. Bringing you what? The same situation and stuff and trauma. You know, I've had to recognize lately and be honest with myself and saying, you know what? I don't do relationships well because I keep drawing crazy to me. I gotta finally look at either I'm crazy and I'm attracting crazy or they're crazy and I don't know, but it's crazy. And so I've just said, you know what? I just have to leave it alone. I can't do crazy anymore. But, you know, at some point, I'm going to retire, and I'm going to get me a life. And when I do, I don't want crazy. I want to be prepared. I want to be conscious. I want to be able to have a relationship that's healthy and functional and compassionate and supportive. But that means either I got to clear up some crazy in me. So I stop drawing, right, that to me. Let's be real now. So we have these things, these issues or these situations that come to us over and over. And maybe, you know, haven't you had one or more persons, be your friends or colleagues or strangers, who've told you the same thing about yourself? And they don't know each other, but it keeps coming to your ear. You've heard it before, right? Hasn't registered, but they keep saying, well, not Reverend Sylvia, you know, I'm like, well, no, but yet Johnny brings it, Mary keeps, it just keeps coming, right? The same thing, you've heard it before. And hasn't what you've heard or hasn't what you've drawn to you or repeated, haven't these things caused you a certain amount of headache and heartache? Headache and heartache, it keeps coming again. You've had those sticky things, you've been in a sticky place. Well, dear ones, that's a clue that there is something that needs to be seen by you. You may need to trace it. You may need to see if you can trace the source of your behavior or the source of your feelings or of your perceptions or these things that keep coming. Now, the source, it may be incidental. Maybe it was an incident that triggered something in you. Or it could be what I call a soul impression. Things that were impressed upon you before you really even had the ability to rationalize and to think or to talk or to, you know, things that you may have heard. It could even be, you know, in the womb, somebody passing by or coming said, oh, you know, you got another child coming? Don't you have eight? You know, and so maybe you heard that comment in the womb and you feel what? Unwanted. You know, but listen, I'm telling you what happens. Right? So as a young child, we're so impressionable. Many things and statements that we don't know how to handle gets impressed upon the soul and the subconscious. And unfortunately, it affects us through our lives and we're not even aware of it. We don't know from whence it has come. So you might have feelings of unworthiness, being whatever it is. So this is a very important part of this process. We're going to trace it, right? And because we do need to see, because you can't heal what is not acknowledged and seen. But because some of this might be unconscious and it might be long forgotten, you may have to do some deep inner work, some prayer work. You might have to do some meditation, deep meditation, or you might have to ask the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is the teacher, the revelator. The Holy Spirit knows everything about you. Or you can ask your higher sacred self, the witness self of you, that has everything recorded in your soul and doesn't make a judgment, but will reveal to you what you need to see. You may have to do some intense looking and seeing and asking at this point. Now, when we're in the trace it phase, I want you to understand it may take some time, okay? It could come quickly. You could get the aha quickly, or maybe you have to keep working with it. You know, I've been working with it for about a month, almost two, but I have an intention. I want to see what is this, where. So you know, it may take you a while, or you may get it in a short period of time. The point is that it also may be quite painful to see. Okay? But don't give up, because this is what happens. We see the pain and then we want the pain to go away, so we stop the process. But don't give up and don't stop here, because you don't want to be afraid of the pain. In fact, you're going to have to learn how to embrace it. Embrace the pain. Because when you do, embracing the pain or whatever it is that you have uncovered about yourself, that's what's going to help you to the next phase, which is face it. Now, this is a critical phase. The tracing it is key. But once you have uncovered, you've got to now face it, right? You've got to face it. And this is critical because an unwillingness to face your stuff just causes you to go unconscious again. If you're unwilling to face it, you will go unconscious again. And our unconscious shenanigans ain't pretty. Right? Because we don't think about it. Our stuff is up. You said it before you could even think about it. You've done it before. It's unconscious. It's just your stuff. And it's not necessarily pretty. And it just then keeps you in this loop of repeated patterns. And no growth is happening. No growth. No transformation. You're praying. You want to be different. You want to be healed. But nothing's happening. Because you're not seeing and you're not looking, you're not willing to face whatever it is. So do whatever it is, whatever it takes to see your stuff. And to do so with what I call an abiding inner integrity. That is, you have to tell yourself the truth about yourself. Tell yourself the truth about what you're really feeling. Nobody's inside here, so you can admit it to yourself. Because this, you know, this is not the time to hide or dress it up. You know, we like the truth to, we like to dress it up. Put on a positive statement. You know, but this is not the time to really dress it up or to dress up what's really going on. If you fear rejection, say it. You don't have to go around telling everybody, you know what, I fear rejection. I'm not talking about that. This is your inner what? Your process. So when you're sitting down at the altar, when you're before God, you need to confess and say everything that you're feeling. If it's a fear of being unloved, then say it. Recognize it. Admit it. Own it. If it's a feeling that you feel that you're unworthy, then own that. See that. If you have some shame going on, acknowledge it. Whatever it is, whatever is real for you, let yourself acknowledge it. Face it, because no growth will occur if you fake it. You can't fake it. You got to face it for growth, for healing, right? Now, once you begin to really see and face whatever is true for you, right, whatever's going on about you, now you're at a place where you can begin to bring some healing into the process. Now you can begin to have an experience of transformation. See, sometimes we want to transform before we don't even know what we're trying to change. We're trying to just change the outer, the effect, and we have no idea what the cause was. So the cause keeps doing it again and again, and we keep going back and forth. But once you get to you've traced it, now you've created some space that you can begin the healing process. And this is where you begin to erase it. Now, of course, when we say erase it, we're not talking about acting as if it never occurred or nothing happened. That would be insane. What we're saying is that it no longer has the ability to impact you negatively. No longer. In New Thought or in Unity, when we want to eliminate a negative effect upon us, we use denials. Now, again, we're not denying that something has occurred. We're simply denying that it has a lasting effect. And metaphysically, before you use an affirmation, and we have a tendency to do that as truth students, we lose lots of affirmations. We just keep piling on all that good stuff. But we're piling it on underneath all this stuff that needs to be healed, right? So before you use your affirmations, technically you should use denials to clear out the negative debris that might be in your consciousness. This is what Charles Fillmore, who's the co-founder of Unity, says about denials. He said, a denial is the mental process of erasing from consciousness the false beliefs of the sense mind. Because usually the stuff that gets us in trouble is not really true. It's not the truth. It's some stuff, some error thinking we have. He says, denial clears away belief in evil as reality and thus makes room for the establishing of truth. Carnal consciousness is made up of a multitude of false individual and race beliefs. He's talking about the human race. Through denial, we get rid of these shadows of reality. We cleanse the temple of the mind of these thieves and robbers of our good. In so doing, we make way for the planting of the seeds of truth that will bring us an ever-increasing supply of good. And then he says, see affirmation. So, denials are very powerful. And in my process, as I was doing, you know, between my wailing and weeping and praying to be free from it, but I knew I didn't want to be free before the time was right, before I really embraced it. But when I got to that point, one of my favorite uses of denial is I say this, I am free from. It's powerful. So I began to say, you know what, whatever it was that I had uncovered and I had seen and discovered, I'm free from that. I'm free from this. I am free from that. And name it all. Whatever's coming, I'm free from that. And I could feel a sense of freedom because once you trace and once you face, you can now erase it. And the erasing is being free from it, right? Because there's no need to now hold on to old baggage. There's no need. Some people hold on to their wounds and scars like the red badge of courage. Did you read that book in high school? You know, you don't need that. You don't need to hold on to that. You don't need to be propped up by, look what they done to me. I'm a victim. No. Let all that stuff go. Because what's really powerfully spiritually, and this is the truth, is that when you spiritually fully embrace and face the pain and you don't run from it and you let it be and you acknowledge it and you sit with it and you own it, what happens spiritually is that it really does begin to dissipate. It dissipates and it dissolves. The pain dissolves under the glare of your divine light. It dissolves under your awareness. Awareness is nothing but light. Right? And the moment you become aware of where this came from and why you have it and how it's been showing up and how you've allowed it to overtake you, the moment you begin to embrace that and see, it begins to dissipate. And if you are with it long enough, you won't have, it's called releasing the charge of it. You won't have that experience. You won't have that response again because you've healed it. You've seen it. You can now let it go. You're now in the place where the light is overcoming the darkness. The light is bringing you to a place. And when you really begin to do this phrase of erasing it, you begin to feel free. All of a sudden, you feel a little clearer in your consciousness, a little cleaner in your heart. Now you have some space. So there's some space in your consciousness and in your soul and in your heart for now really claiming some good. Now you got some space to claim what you want. And so here's the place where you begin to replace it. You got room to replace it, right? You replace the pain for joy, right? All of a sudden, there's a garland for mourning. You get a garland of joy. That's what the Bible says. You're going to get a garland, right, of joy for mourning. All of a sudden, happiness and freedom and a sense of newness and a spaciousness comes into your being. You have a chance now to create something that's going to now bless you, something that's going to lift you up. It could be maybe an affirmation, or it could just be a new vision of what you want, a new vision of how you now are choosing to show up in life. You get to choose how you want to show up in your life. And you're not bound by the past any longer. Scripture says, behold, I'm doing a new thing in you. A new thing. See, when we give this process some work, God begins to do a new thing in us. Now, we just simply remember that it is a process. But I guarantee you, if you work it, it will work. You'll come out with a higher perspective, higher understanding, awareness. You will be and feel free, breathing, able to exhale. You know, just wow. Free to be you, free to be you and your authentic self. And joy comes as a bonus. After all this work you've done internally, joy comes as a bonus. So it's time to clean it all up. We're going to trace it. We're going to face it. We're going to erase it. And we're going to do what? Replace it. And I was thinking this morning, this is the perfect time and season to start this because we are getting ready to enter into the season of Easter. Resurrection, right? But before resurrection, we have what? Crucifixion. And it's all right because that's what leads to resurrection. So this is a glorious time for us. It's a glorious time as we travel on our life's journey. So I say make it a great one and enjoy the process fully and completely. Namaste and blessings. 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 Namaste. Thank you.